Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining me for another Ram Radio Live, the webcast, and I'm glad that you can join me. I've said it so many times, and on this Friday, the 17th of May, 2013, I'll say it again. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Peter writes, and he says that we ought to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, set him aside, set him apart, have Christ becoming this beacon so bright in our minds and in our lives that our lives are affected by him. I was in a situation last night where I wanted to say something and do something, but I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't say it, because Christ illumined brighter in my heart than my own selfish wants. Always, always, Peter continues, being ready to make a defense, because I know that if I had stated my case, I could make no defense for who and what I am. To everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. I had a wonderful opportunity after I left the job yesterday, and I had just had plans on spending a nice, quiet Thursday evening at home, grading papers, which I did, in the restaurant a little bit before I got home, and I'm glad that I did. I have a very busy day today here in the office working, and it will keep me occupied most of the day. But I was visited by two of my new young friends. That's right, guys on the block that I know. Two young African-American males that needs a job badly, real bad. One had a little problem with the law a while back, learned his lesson very well, and surprisingly, the discussion that I had with them was overwhelming to me. Again, the same old story. The parents of these young men, about 21 years old, when a young black man is at that crucial age at 21 years old, he's no longer a little child. He eats like a beast. He is a man. And I'm going to share with you some of the things that we spoke about in this webcast. And this webcast is just called Knowledge. That's what it's going to be called, Knowledge. And I want you to pay attention as I continuously have this back and forth. In a world of professing Christians, the true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Now, this divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word speaks to these kinds of absolutes. Into the Word, this apologetic African-American ministry, as any other true Christian ministry, must abide by these biblical concepts, or they can't call themselves biblical. I can't call myself biblical. And so, here I am. I get a phone call, and the young man says, John, I'd like to come by and get a little wisdom from you. And I said, well, I just walked in the house, just setting down my books and everything, and I said, I guess there's no better time than this, and what a wonderful, wonderful evening it was. Nice and clear. I had prepared dinner, so I didn't have to cook, and I was just thinking about giving 5 minutes of advice to two young men that are in their community looking for a job. One told me that he couldn't contact me like we had promised, because as I mentored this new state of seeking what it means to be a decent person in a in a society that seems to be falling apart. He said that he had just went and got his cell phone from the store, got time on it, and I know where the store is, and this was around Slauson and Crenshaw, and he was walking home, and some boys came up behind him in a car with a gun and said, "Now, we know you got some money, and we know that you got a phone. Just give it here. Give it here." And he said he didn't want to get shot, so he gave it to them. That's the way it is. That's one of the things that Mario told me it was in this area over here. When I moved in this area in 1974, I had no idea that it had degraded down to this area. The young men just driving up to other young men, threatening to, you give them all the money you have and everything. I am going to have to watch going around certain places in my own neighborhood now because it's getting that bad. And people don't care now. But knowledge is what I'm talking about. Share with those young men. We end up, and they said, "Do you have any movies?" I said, "Sure, I got some movies." You know, they're unemployed. And so we got Godfather Part 1. And I said, "Why don't you choose?" And they chose, the Godfather series, because in their generation, it was some kind of a video game or something. I said, "No, this is the original movies." And I found that very interesting, because when Mario and Terrence were with me, and when they were that age, a couple of years ago, they wanted to watch that series of movies, you know, the gangster thing. But what I did is I showed that I said, "I want to let you boys know how deep this goes." I said, "This is deep criminality. This is the kind of thing where people are building their empire and their kingdom, and human carnage is what these people do." I said, they're seen as heroes to your young generation because it looks very popular. But if you don't have knowledge of what's behind these things, and so that's the way I started the evening. Showing them the movie, just like I do as a philosophy professor. When the movie is playing in the classroom, I'm spurting out epithets, you know, to bring them up to par with it because they didn't understand the culture. Like in that particular time when The Godfather was made, the year was about 1946, and at that time I would have been about 2 years old. I was sharing with the boys that Paramount did a great job in making the film because they had some classic cars, vintage cars from the era in the film. And I was telling them I used to ride in the back seat of that car. My grandfather had a car like that because I recall I was there. I was alive during that time. And believe it or not, being 2 years old, or something like that, I have vivid memories of those cars sliding across the back seat, all leather seats. Oh, man. So these 21-year-olds found it interesting as I opened up the meaning of this film to them as I was sharing with them. And, you know, I want to say this to you Christians out there that find it disgusting to be with a human being except your own family. While I was having dinner, we're talking about knowledge, right? When I was one of you wanted a theme scripture for this Bible study. I'm sorry, I should have given it to you earlier. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Okay, so that'll be my theme scripture. Real talk. Right? I haven't gotten the bell yet. I'll try to take care of that sometime today. So it was real talk in my home last night. And real talk is what I do when I meet with young men. I love their energy. Their energy. Just, I had one that was sharing with me about his experiences when he was incarcerated. He told me about a riot there. He pointed to a scar on his face, just like T used to do to me. And I said, "You boys hungry? Are you kidding?" So one of my specialties that I've already eaten, and so I'm not hungry. So I started boiling a pot of rice, just enough for two people, and making my bacon, and because I'm making some egg fried rice. That's what I made them. I made them a plate of fried rice, bacon's chopped up in there, very crisp and delicious, and scrambled eggs and soy sauce, you know, just to give them something to eat because I don't have a lot of food here, and that's the kind of food that I eat when especially young guests come by to eat. And they're grown, so they and they gobbled it up as we watched the movie. It brings me to another aspect. Now, if you've never done that, you want to try doing that because these youngsters need a place to hang. I call my house the man hut. That's what it is. But it's a young man's hut. I want to help the young men. The older men, 40s and above, if they want to come by, well, do it at your own risk. But the young men, nah. But one of the young men that were by, he was telling me, he says, "No, I don't want to go back to jail again. I don't ever want to go back to jail." He said, it's another world. And we were talking about how the police at times pits prisoners against prisoners. They were telling me that one of the prisons here in Southern California where he was, that the sheriffs keep the rowdiness going. It's pathetic, some of the stories that he told me. This young lad isn't lying to me. I'm looking into their faces, and I'm saying, "You boys lying to me?" And they said, "John, why would we lie to you? Why would we lie?" Anyhow, we got into the conversation about jobs, and they told me the difficulties of getting jobs. And I want to share with you, for a young black man in his 20s, it is the most difficult thing. One had an application to go all the way to somewhere. He wants to know if I can take him there on Monday. I doubt if I can. Way out in Azusa somewhere. Because I have to be at work. And he's thinking about catching the bus there. His own parents. I mean, because he went to jail. Because he was a rowdy bum. He went to jail. And his mom is with a man. And staying with him. And so the man had had it with him and was putting him out the house. The boy's 21 years old. And so the man start hollering his epithets. When I was your age, I had a job and I was doing this and I had a car. Well, it's different. You see, when the parent hollers out at a child and said, "When I was your age, I was doing this," that was during a different time, a different world. Come on. I said, "Your mom's man didn't say that to you." And then I said, "Look, son, this is the issue. You're a man and he's a man. There can only be one man in the house." Then I showed the boys the house rules that I had here for Terrence and Mario. And they said, "Ooh, these are hard rules." I said, "Not really. They're not hard rules. That's the only kind of rules that keep this house stabilized. Can't let somebody come in here." I said, "You're going to watch a movie with me this evening. What if you thought that you could just do any darn thing you wanted to do, say anything you wanted to say? That's not going to happen in my house. It's not going to happen in my house unless I want it to happen. And if I don't want it to happen, it is not going to happen." So, after we set that boundary and set those guidelines, it was a wonderful evening watching the movie. And you know, Godfather Part 1 is a long movie. They couldn't watch all of it. They said, "Hey, we got to go." I said, "Yeah, well, go." But we had a good time. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. You know, we ought to desire that. Psalms 119:66 says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments." I told the boys that I was going to pray for them to get a job. And I pray to God that he might help them get some employment, but it's very, very difficult out there because they're, the Hispanics have all the good-paying jobs for young men in Los Angeles. Now there's a few good jobs. Young black men get in there, and that's good. You know, I see the brothers driving trucks for UPS and Fed Express, but very few African American males delivering mail, the mail, working for the post office. Very few. As a matter of fact, one of the post persons told me that they have openings constantly in the hood, in the inner city. But black males will not take the job because of fear of getting jumped, beat up, robbed, shot. So women deliver the mail. Women are running these institutions, and the Hispanics have all the other jobs, like working in the Best Buy, the malls, and all of that. And you see very few. And I'm not saying that black males can't work, because, you know, that's what I was doing, was sharing with these guys. You know, you got to keep getting out there. And they say, well, every time we get out there, the door is slammed in our face. And I listened to one of the boys talk, and he got that ghetto language. Next time I meet with him, I got to tell him, you go stop talking like this. You got to stop talking like this. You know, because when you talk like that, and you're out there, you want to sharpen up your language. You want to do that. You don't want to talk like that. Yeah. Knowledge. I was speaking with a young man yesterday. A different young man. And he said, John, I thought about again killing myself. He had been speaking with a psychologist before. I acted rather nonchalantly. Not shocked or surprised. And I said, and what brought you to this conclusion? And he said, because I see no way. Also, he's an African-American male. He says, I see no way out of my situation. After I spoke with them 5 minutes, I said, have you gone to God about this? Now, I want you to listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to share with you. Because when I read in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now listen. You've heard these charismatics and these other people try to take this verse. The word faithers take this verse, and the first part of it, and says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And they're saying that you not having all this success and all this stuff because you don't use the ability that God has given you to be successful in this area. Well, it doesn't mean that. When it says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you from being a priest to me or an ambassador to me. And then he says, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, let me give you the meaning of this verse. God speaking with the his children, the Israelites, through the priesthood, through the prophets. He says that through time, y'all didn't forgotten me. Y'all didn't want to have nothing to do with me. Y'all have turned your back on me. Now I'm going to show you what I'm going to do to your offspring. Well, when this young man was saying that, he did not want to live any longer. Then what I did is I asked him, did you go to God about this very difficult situation? Because he said that he was spiritual. When I said that, the young man's face flushed with blood. It was like a rush flushed his face with blood. And you guys have heard me say on my webcast, I look deeply into the face and the beautiful eyes of young black men. And I said, calm down. I said, calm down, son. I love you. I love you. Calm down. I'm not trying to bring tension on you. And he said, you're not, John. You're not. You asked me if I've gone to God. He says, yes, I've gone to God. And I said, and what did you hear? Now, I was leading the conversation. I'm a pastor. I know what I'm doing. And I know that he didn't hear anything. Because you know, if you're a believer, like I know, that God doesn't hear the voice of one that has not come through his son. That's why his face flushed red. He's desperate, desperate to the point where he wants to kill himself. And he's trying to go directly to the throne of grace, directly to God, to ask God to give him a reason why he should not off himself. I asked him, I said, may I take liberties to share? I said, have you ever read the Bible, God's word? I said, we in America, most of us here, anyhow, believe that the book, the Bible, is the book through which God speaks to us in this country. I said, now, if you were in Arabia somewhere, in an Islamic country, they would say that God would speak to you through the Quran. If you were from some other country, God would be speaking to you through some other means. But in this country, here, we believe fundamentally that if there is a God, that he speaks to us through the Bible, which is an ancient text. And I'm explaining this to him, and the young man is intelligent. He can understand what I'm saying. Okay? Now, I said, have you ever heard of the concept of a mediator? And I asked him, I said, because you can't go to God direct. That's why you didn't hear anything from him. None of us can go directly to God and get an answer from God. No, we can't do that. And you guys know the scripture says, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's the theme that I was hitting on while I was talking with this young black man, this young articulate black man, this young, handsome, very talented black man that wanted to kill himself. You people that listen to me on my webcast, I'm telling you, you people that call yourselves Christians and you're not touching people's lives. You aren't looking in their eyes. And I'm telling you, the parents, I don't know what the Hades have happened to the parents in this country that will not love their own offspring. I do not understand. What is it? You spew these children out of you. You have these children, and then you set them on their way. They are humans. Oh. Anyhow, I start to read some scriptures with him about where Jesus says, if any man cometh unto the Father, he can't come to the Father but by me. The young man said, I never knew that. Remember, we're talking about knowledge? I said, how do you feel about what I've just told you? Excuse me. How do you feel about what I just told you? And he said, I love it. The flushness in his face went away. The red went away. A smile came on his face. And he said, I love that. I've never heard of that before. And I found it interesting that he was smiling. And so what I did, because I had my iPad, and I had a Bible program on there, and I started going to other scriptures. Now, here's a scripture on knowledge. I didn't take him through this scripture, but it's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. I love the verse. It says, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing as fools hate knowledge. Well, this young black man wasn't scoffing. He wasn't hating knowledge. He was eating it up. You know what he was? Listen to me. He was receptive. Ding! Real talk. He was receptive to the word of God. You ever read in the book of Acts? When Paul was, I think it was in Lystra, where he was teaching by the riverside, and Lydia, a sewer of a dyer of purple fabrics, was at the river. And while Paul was speaking, the scripture says that her heart was open, and she invited Paul and the missionary team to her house. Those are the kind of engagements that I have with young people today. I don't attend a Christian church anymore. I'm tired of attending those places where the people in those places will not do what I'm trying to share with you, what I'm doing. Maybe they're incapable of doing it. Maybe they're too occupied with their lives. God has told me, since I've given you a love for this group of individuals, now what are you going to do? And God is saying, don't worry, John, I will send the ones that will listen. I will only send the ones to you that will listen. Now, all these young men that I speak to know that I'm a retired pastor. They know, because, and I share things with them about my life because they share things with me about theirs. And I share, I'm just as ugly as you are, buddy. Just as ugly as you, no better than you. When they come into my home, they see how clean it is and everything. And I told them, hard work does this. I says, I've been in this house since 74. I'll probably die in this house. And this is it. I'll never get anything more than this because I'm satisfied with what I have. And I have a Bible verse to back up everything I say. But I don't spew Bible on them all the time. First, I got to take some time to love them right where they are. To love them. Man, did I get carried away this week in my philosophy class? I just tell my students, come on now. My babies, let's do this work. it's a wonderful thing, you know, to be the oldest cat in the room. And it's interesting talking about knowledge, because last night the boys were telling me in the jail, One of the boys was telling me that the jail that they were in, because I was asking them, did they separate the old people from the young? And they both laughed at me and said, no. There was an OG in there 70 years old cutting the young dude's hair before they took court dates. And he cut it with a razor or something. I said, how did he get a razor in there? He said, man, they can get anything in those jails. Youngsters were saying, man, they got got marijuana smuggled in there, all kind of methamphetamines, everything. He said, anything you can get on the streets out here, you can get in a prison. Just blew my mind. Knowledge. Bing! Real talk. Do you want to hear it? See, do you want to hear it? Do you want to know what's going on out there? Now, in all this knowledge that I'm gaining from these young men, I have the responsibility to introduce them to the one God that created the heavens and the earth and to his son, Jesus Christ. But I cannot present it to the way they know the church people, because they have no affinity for church people at all. None. Absolutely none. They will never consider the church, ever. They think that's a museum piece, something archaic, something weird. It's something that their parents do, and they don't know the reason why they do it. I was sharing with the young man that wanted to commit suicide about what Jesus said through Peter the apostle when he said, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And I said, you see, you cannot cast your care upon God, because God sent a mediator to die for you. God sent someone to take your place for the misbehavings that you do. It's called sin. Then I had the opportunity to give them Origen's definition of sin, the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God. See, if God's will is not revealed to them through knowledge, through what I was doing, through spending time with them, you would not expect them. You understand what I'm saying? You would not expect them to have a knowledge of what God needs for them to do. And I quietly, while I was doing something else, as I was talking with this young man, not looking at him straight on, because that would have been like the evangelicals do. They're wishing that they have another convert. I can't convert anyone. The only thing that I was doing was sharing with this young man that I believe, and many people in this country believe, when you hear them talk about this Jesus Christ, that he is actually the Son of God who was born of a virgin. And I kind of laugh when I said it. I said, doesn't it sound weird? But I said, ever since God has revealed his Son to me through the reading of the Word and given me something on the inside of my heart that gives me, then I stared at him, that gives me the ability to love you like my own little boy. I mean, to love you. I love you. I said, I don't want you to kill yourself. I don't want you to die. I love you. I want you to live. And he said, why? And then I told him, I said, because I want you to come to know this love that I have, because your life is precious. It's so precious. It's the only life that we have here. Then he asked me about reincarnation. I said, this is the only life that I know. I don't know whether I'm coming back as a bumblebee or a wasp. I have no idea. But I'm living this one, and I wouldn't kill myself. And so I said, if you want to get in touch with God, you can only do that through this mediator, this Jesus Christ. And I said, since you said to me that you meditate, and that you are spiritual, invite him Talk to him about you. Say, Jesus, I need you to touch me. I need you to give me a reason why I want to live. Now, I hope one day he can say, Jesus, as John told me, will you talk to me? And I'll tell you people out there something. When he does that, if he just says that, will you talk to me and let me know? A warmness will come in his body. A warmness. Let me explain it to you. A warmness. Warm. It gets warm because when his spirit comes in you, he warms you up. He gives life to you. Because this life on this planet, I spoke with 3 young black men that are disillusioned about living. And in all 3 cases, the parents have thrown them out of their lives. Parents, if you don't pick up a sense that being a parent, and I'm not talking about being a church-going parent, I'm not talking about that. Don't misread Pastor John, because the people that go to church that take care of their daughters and sons are competing with each other. Jesus did not come to bring healing to those that were well. He came to the ones that were sick. I told you folks a number of months ago when I, and some of you, my young friends that don't call me anymore from across the country, you don't email me anymore, you don't have any correspondence with me at all anymore, I fully understand why. I understand why. You are totally evangelical. And I understand that because you feel happy with that. You feel happy with this connection to group. It's a form of camaraderie. It's like, hey, you know, this is, I know that that's your homeboys. Well, my homeboy is Christ. And Christ is telling me in my heart. Well, what is this scripture? Let me go to it. I think you know it very well. And maybe there's some young people listening to me that has never considered this scripture before. And so I'll do it like I'm speaking to them. All right, I'm going to John chapter 1, and I'm going to verse 11. He came into his own. Jesus went to the Jews, and those who were his own did not receive him. The Jews rejected him. But listen to this. But as many as received him. You see, that's what I was telling that young black man to do. You have to receive Christ. You have to call on Christ out of the depths of depravity, out of the depths of need, out of the depths of want. Look at this. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, or the power. It says the power in the King James. To them gave the power to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. And that's what I was telling the young man. You must believe in this name, that Jesus is God's Son, came to die on Calvary, to bleed for us, that we may not bleed the way your heart is bleeding, the way I saw that blood rush to your face. And I told the little boy to calm down, calm down. And I said, what I feel like doing is rushing you and hugging you and giving you my love. But I said, that's where I did wrong for years in the church. So I'm going to stand off and tell you that his name is Jesus. And when you call upon him out of the depths of your heart in need, he will respond to you immediately. and warm your heart, mind, body, soul, being. And before we left company, the boy had a smile on his face. And I told him that when I see him, that I would present to him a Bible, because he doesn't have one. He's never read it. And I must end with this. He said every time he went to church seeking the knowledge, and he's gone to many churches seeking the knowledge of God and to get this suicide out of him, the church people told him he was going straight to hell when he dies, constantly, in every church that he went by. Now you figure that. And you know, ever since Pastor John, that's me, have been in ministry, God has never called me into a ministry where he knew that I would not be effective. Ever. What are you doing with the knowledge that God has given you?